This is the weekly message from Restoration Church in Odessa, Texas. If you would like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.restoreodessa.com. There you can also give financially to support the ministry. Now, here's this week's message.
Praise the Lord. Well, it is great to see you this morning. I'm excited to kick off our special services, Overflow Revival. And our speaker this morning and tonight is, I met on Facebook, actually. We met in a pastor's group and then finally got to meet each other in person back in August at General Council. And, you know, he's a great man. I just love what God is doing through their ministry. He's bald, so that's just another beautiful thing about him. Come on, somebody. You know, us bald brothers got to stick together. That's right. Amen. But he's an author, he's a speaker, and he's just an all-around great guy. Can you help me give a warm West Texas welcome to Evangelist Ty Buckingham? Come on, y'all can give him better than that. Amen.
You're awesome. Man, I'm going to tell you, I go to different churches all the time, almost every week, and I want to tell you, you guys have some of the greatest pastors in the country here, for real. Man, you guys, yeah, that's when you're supposed to clap. Good, guys, there you go. I should have prepped you ahead of time. But man, I'm super pumped to be here. I love this. You know, a couple of things about me is, so my name is Ty Buckingham. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. I go to a church called Radiant Church. They send their love and all that. And I am married. I've been married for a little over 9 years. No clapping. That's fine. No, you missed it. Here's the thing. When I first told people when I was first married that I was married, people were so excited. Thunderous applause, standing ovations. What I'm learning today, nobody cares. But what people super care about is when you have children. And for the longest time, people would always ask us, Ty, Rebecca, my wife, when are you guys going to have children? And our response is the same all of the time. Is we would say this, we don't know when we're going to have kids, but we practice all the time. Praise God. If you're married and you didn't think that was funny, you need more practice, okay? But the reality is this, man, I'll practice. We have two kiddos now. We have a Moses who is 3 and Lazarus who's he's a 1-year-old little baby, not even 1 yet, and he never sleeps. So I'm so glad to be here in Texas. My gosh. Yeah, just to sleep, honestly. But man, I'm really excited for what God's going to do today, tomorrow, the next day. I love what happens when we come to God in expectation and then when we pray. At the end of every of these services, we're going to spend time in prayer, whether it's for 2 minutes or for a bunch of them. And here's the reason why. Every time prayer is mentioned in the book of Acts, a supernatural event follows every single time. Now, today, before we get into that, I need us to start off with probably the most spiritual topic of our lives, which is our pets. Raise your hand if you're a pet person, you have a pet in your house. Okay, cool. So for me, I feel like there's like 4 main types of pets. Number one are dogs, dog people. Where are we dog people? Okay, cool. I feel like this is the most American pet to have. Like when I imagine the American family, it's like mom, dad, 2 kids, golden retriever, American flag bandana around their neck, America. Like I remember when we got a puppy and I carried it into my house, I felt more American. I was like, I've got to go and vote for something or buy a gun or whatever you do in Texas. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. But I feel like it's a pretty normal pet. Second category of pets, when I think of them, are people who have pet cats. Do we have any cat people in the room? Any cat people? Yeah, basically what you're saying is, hi, I make terrible choices. And I get it. I've been there. It's part of our testimony. For real. My wife and I, in our first year of marriage, we got a cat. We loved him a lot, and he was great. But eventually, we had to get rid of him because he had some medical condition called peeing everywhere. And so, and we gave him way too much grace for way too long. But what we did was the Christ-like thing is we gave our problems to somebody else. And so, but now we're dog people, and so we're saved and redeemed. Praise Jesus. And then the third category of pets is people who have like pet snakes. Let's be honest, if you're here today and you have a pet snake, you either have or you have done or you will do jail time. Like, there's no way around it. It's intense, scary, and honestly, just like, let's chill. And the fourth, and we're going to be here for a minute, is people who have pet birds. And I'll be honest, I have never once in my life met a person who is normal and owns a pet bird. And if you're here and you're like, but I have a pet bird, today is your wake-up call, okay? I remember this. Before I got married, I lived next door to these people who owned these exotic birds, which meant that they were way more expensive and apparently way louder. I remember I'd be on walks in my neighborhood, and from outside of the house, I could hear what was going on inside of the house. It was actually a huge complaint. And, you know, one day my neighbors kind of invite me in, and just kind of being neighborly, I go into the house, and something was completely different. It was completely silent. So all I could think of to myself was, oh, praise God, the birds died. But they didn't die. They didn't die. So I asked my neighbors, hey, where are the birds? Usually they're so loud. And they said, oh, yeah, they're over there. And they point to the bird cage, which is already an interesting thing because birds are made to fly. But when we have them as pets, we confine them to these things where they can't do what they're made to do. They kind of hop around, can't fly, a little silly. And in this moment, though, I saw something I had never seen before. Is I saw a blanket on top of the cage. And I remember asking my friends, I was like, what is up with this? Like, this is a weird decoration. And they said, no, sometimes the birds are so loud, we don't know what to do with them. So we put a blanket over it, over the cage. It makes the birds silent, and it's as if they're not even there. And at this one random moment at a neighbor's house, I realized how many people treat Holy Spirit like he's actually a bird, where we have confined him to a cage of our comfortability or our schedule, or worst case scenario, we just don't know what to do with him. And so we kind of put him in the other room of the house, kind of put a blanket over him, and miss out on hearing a massive aspect of who God really is. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it for just a few minutes. Then we'll pray for our best 4 or 5 minutes at the end of service. And then we'll hang out again tonight talking about faith for healing. And I know I have bandages all over my body. So the irony, I need it. I was on my 13-year-old brother's little motorcycle for 18 seconds, and I fell off, and I will never do it again. And so, but we'll pray for that. I know it's silly, but here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I used to always do this. When I would think about Holy Spirit, speaking of birds, I would always think of a bird or a dove. And even here today, if I was to ask all of you to draw a picture of Holy Spirit, you would probably draw one of three things. You would draw a dove or a bird. I would get that. Some of you might do like old school and draw some fire. I'm cool with that. And some of you might do a combination of both a bird and fire. And you might just draw a picture of like fried chicken or something. And that joke is so stupid, but I try it all the time. It's fine. But here's the reality is this idea of Holy Spirit being a dove or a bird personified, we actually see this in scripture. Occasionally we see it on like church logos or paintings of Jesus, a halo, a dove. And I want us to go to the Bible of where does this kind of start with and who is Holy Spirit? And so if you have your Bibles, we'll go to the book of Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. This is the moment where Jesus gets baptized. And it says it like this. It says, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God. Let's pause there. That's Holy Spirit. Same person, just different vernacular, different way of saying his name. And I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Somebody say like. Like. That word like is really important because Matthew is writing down what he is literally seeing, but he's using his earthly language to describe a heavenly moment. So he says, this looks like a dove and coming to rest on him, Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. And I think this is a really interesting passage here because number one, we see that Matthew is writing about Holy Spirit like a dove. So he's not actually a bird. And let me say like this, I love this passage because what we end up seeing is this, is we see God the Father speaking of Jesus. He says, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. We have God the Son, Jesus, getting baptized. And we have God the Holy Spirit all together at the same place at the same time. And what it tells me this is number one, that the Holy Spirit is not a bird, but number two, Holy Spirit is God here on earth, dwelling inside of us when we give our life to Jesus to have relationship with us. And I don't know about you, but I used to wonder, why do I need a relationship with Holy Spirit if I already have a relationship with Jesus? And the first reason is this, is that friends, it is Jesus's plan for you. It's Jesus's plan for you. Let me say, like, out of the gate, Holy Spirit isn't for the spiritual elite, not for people who've been saved for a very long time, or pastors or preachers. Holy Spirit is for every single person, and it's Jesus's plan for you. Jesus says this in John 16, verse 7. He talks to his disciples then, believers now. He says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is better that I, Jesus, go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And I'll be honest, if I'm a disciple of Jesus, I have given up all of my life. I left the fishing boat, left the job, left the thing, all the friends. I follow Jesus. And this is a couple years into the ministry of Jesus, out of the three of them. And Jesus says, "Hey, spoiler alert, I'm going to leave, but it's better for you." If I was a disciple of Jesus, I would think that Jesus was crazy. Because how could it be better? Because I gave up everything to follow you. I'm seeing miracles every day. Every day is getting better. It's this crazy adventure. But then Jesus says, it is better for you that I leave. And what Jesus is addressing, I think, is that Holy Spirit does what Jesus couldn't do. Holy Spirit does what Jesus couldn't do. Because Jesus, by choice, came from heaven to earth, was confined to an earthly body, so he was at one place at one time all of the time. A lot of our favorite miracle moments that we have with Jesus are people getting to Jesus, climbing up trees, breaking through roofs, pushing through crowds, yelling out, traveling to him to have a second with Jesus. But Jesus says there's something better for us. Instead of us having a second with Jesus, Jesus wants to give us a 24/7 experience of all of the time, everywhere we are. So instead of us trying to get our way to Jesus, Jesus did something on the cross. We talked about this last week, and he rose again and then sends us the gift of Holy Spirit through that, so that instead of you trying to get to him, he gets to you, which is way better. It is so much better. And I believe this, that Jesus, man, it's his plan for you. Man, the second thing is this, is that it's better than doing life by yourself. It's way better than doing life alone. I don't know about you, but the moments where I try to do things by myself without outside wisdom, like getting on a motorcycle that I've never done before in the desert, that really works out. Occasionally it might, but in the long term it never does. And life, man, life with God's direction is so much better than my own direction. It's way better. And I'm gonna say it like this. I remember there's this one prayer I have prayed 6 times in my life. And the first time I prayed it, it went like this. I was 15 years old. I prayed this prayer. I said, "Jesus, let me marry that girl. Amen." Okay. Decent prayer. Some of you laugh, but you've done it. Okay. And here's the thing. I prayed this prayer. I was really excited. It's a romantic story, so I want to share it. I texted this girl. I know the best way to talk to a woman via text message. That's a joke. And so I said, "Hey, do you want to be my girlfriend?" I'm 15 years old. I said, "Hey, do you want to be my girlfriend? Yes or no?" Those were the options, Pastor. Here's what I learned. Women can do whatever they want. And she didn't answer with yes or no. She responded with sure, period. And I was thrilled. You're laughing? It's rude, Pastor. Okay, so looking back, it's depressing. But in that moment, I was excited. I was like, this is the girl of my dreams. I met her 8 minutes ago. This is awesome. I love her so much. And I was like, God, let this girl be my wife. Praise Jesus. And we had a great relationship. Ups and downs, mountains and valleys. But 12 minutes later, she breaks up with me. You're laughing is rude, but it's real. And here's the thing. So that happened. She broke up with me 12 minutes later, my shortest relationship ever. And then I decided I'm going to pray that prayer 5 more times on 5 other women throughout my life. That's too many women for the record. Okay. And I pray this, man, in high school and in college a lot. And oftentimes it was, "I love Jesus. She loves Jesus, so this has to be Jesus," which is not always the case. just because something is godly doesn't mean it's God himself always on it. And so I would be pursuing these people, pursuing these women, and I'd be in these relationships, and every time it would fall apart, I would be frustrated at God because it felt like he wasn't listening to what I was asking him for. And not just in relational pursuits, but in different pursuits. I mean, I try to figure out this job, this thing, and I say, God, this is my plan. Would you bless my plan? Which is fine. But what if instead of having God bless our plans, we could get God's plan, and God's plan is already blessed? So instead of begging God to bless my life, I can walk in the blessing because I have a relationship with Holy Spirit, and he speaks to me all of the time. And here's how the story kind of ends with this, is eventually I meet this woman named Rebecca, who's now my wife, and I never prayed that prayer. Number one, it had a terrible track record. I'm not going to risk it, okay? But also is as I'm pursuing Rebecca, at the same time, I had already been pursuing my relationship with Holy Spirit. And my relationship with anybody else doesn't put my relationship with God on pause. And so, if anything, my relationship with Holy Spirit guided my relationship with Rebecca and still does to this day. And in my relational pursuit, courting, whatever you want to call it, over time, Holy Spirit spoke to me, not as a pastor, not as a preacher, just as a person. And Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Ty, that girl you're dating, Rebecca, that is the woman I want you to marry. And if you're here and you're single, or you got kids or grandkids that are single, and you're like, that's what I need to hear today. I doubt he's going to do it, but let's just say he does today. Let's just say you know God is telling you the person you're going to marry. Rule of thumb, you never tell them because it's super weird, okay? Imagine this. Imagine it's date number two. This is a dinner table. Rebecca sits down. I sit down, hypothetical, and we sit down. We're talking. And I said, hey, I'm like, how was your day? She's like, it was great. How was your day? I said, my day was amazing. God spoke to me today. And she's like, wow, that's amazing. What did God say to you? And I'm like, well, are you in for a treat today? I don't know how to tell you this, but God spoke to me. So it's on him, not me. Take it up with him. That you are going to be my wife. You're welcome. I promise you, if I would have done that at any date, she would have gotten up, left, and I never would have seen her again. Why? Because it's weird, strange, and honestly, it's kind of manipulative, and it's kind of bizarre. And let me say like this, church, Holy Spirit doesn't give you permission to be weird. He gives you authority to be normal. He doesn't give you permission to be weird and do whatever you feel like doing. He gives you the authority to do what he already wants to do, because a spirit-filled believer is just a normal believer. A spirit-filled believer is a normal believer. And so, man, why do this? It's Jesus' plan for you. It's better than doing life by yourself. And honestly, it is a miraculous life that we can live. It's miraculous. You know, I think it's interesting that if you look at the life and the ministry of Jesus on his 33 years on the earth, is that there is not one recorded miracle that Jesus does until after he himself receives Holy Spirit. There's not one recorded miracle that Jesus does until after he has Holy Spirit with him. And yet, so many of us try to do life without Holy Spirit, which is crazy. And I hear it said like this, of like, man, I don't need Holy Spirit for miracles. I need Holy Spirit just to go to Walmart, man. I need Holy Spirit just to guide my everyday life. My goodness. And let me say it like this. I know there's a bunch of people here with a growing church, you know, this many people, you know, what here, online, all of this. Is maybe there are different faith backgrounds that you stepped into this place with. And let me say it like this, just really quickly. If anyone has ever told you that Holy Spirit stopped back in the day or miracles are no longer happen, let me just say it really nicely. If anyone ever told you that Holy Spirit stopped, it's because that person never started. Every time. And what's really usually happening is that person is trying to excuse their own lack of personal power. And I'll be honest, not as a preacher or a pastor, as a normal person, I see Jesus do miracles all of the time. We'll see some today, tomorrow, the next day. And here's what I love about what's happening with what's going on in this church the next couple days is there are different speakers, which shows us that what God does is not dependent on the person, but it's dependent on what Jesus has already done. And so I want to share a quick story. And I want this to be a very practical message. And I think it'll even help us for tonight. Tonight, we're going to be praying for people who are sick, hurting, emotionally, physically, whatever you got going on. And we see miracles all the time. But I want to teach you really quickly through a message, a moment that I had a while ago when I went to a pretty miraculous place. I don't know if you've heard of this place. It's called Walmart. And I don't know if you've been there. My wife has this really interesting gift where she can go in for three things and she will leave Walmart with 47 things. It's like loaves and fishes, okay? It's a Bible joke. You'll get it later. It's fine. And so I'm walking into Walmart by myself a while ago, and I'm walking into Walmart, and as I'm walking in for my own stuff, just normal like toiletries for a trip like this, I felt this nudge of Holy Spirit. And it was kind of this nudge, like a not like a physical nudge. Although, actually, let's do this. To the person next to you, can you just give them a nudge? This is the person. Yeah, just nudge them. There we go. Yeah, so it's not like a physical nudge. It's like a nudge in the right direction. And often, I feel Holy Spirit speak to me in my thoughts. And here's what Holy Spirit, I felt like he said to me, was, Ty, you can't leave Walmart until you pray for someone who is sick. My response, yes, I can. I do all the time. But it's fine. But the reality is God's plans are better than my plans. His ways are way better. My plan is to get some toothpaste and some deodorant. And the Lord says, man, I got better plans. And so I go into Walmart, not as a weird believer, but as a normal believer. I'm not chasing after miracles. I'm chasing after the voice of Holy Spirit. And miracles are the natural side effect of following Holy Spirit. And so I get my stuff. I get my, all my toiletries. And I'm kind of just hanging out. I'm in the back of Walmart at the Holy of Holies where all the TVs are. Praise God. And at that point, I've got all my things and nothing miraculous has happened. And if that's how the story ends, it's still a really good story because my goal as a believer is not to see the results of following Jesus. My goal as a believer is just to follow Jesus. The results are up to him. Now, this time it did work out the way I was hoping it was. And as I'm walking to the front to check out, I feel this nudge again this is really what would be called in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's a gift of Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about all of these in the books I've written. But one of them is a word of knowledge. I'll talk about this for a second. Where God will give us as believers information about something or somebody else to bring them closer to Jesus. This is not like, Ty's going to get up and he's going to call out somebody's sin. And if you're here today and you're nervous that one of the preachers is going to do that, I'm going to tell you right now. If you are worried that a preacher is going to call out your sin, that worry is your sin calling you out, okay? And so I ain't going to do that. I want to pump us up. And so he's like, I hear Holy Spirit say to me, in three aisles from now is the person I want you to pray for. And you might think like me, yeah, right. And the question might be this, how do you know it's Holy Spirit's voice and not just your own thoughts? And number one is what he's saying to you rooted in the word of God, which is the foundation for all godly communication. And number two, I'm going to find out. Because if it's with the word, praying for the sick totally is. We'll talk about it tonight. And then I'm like, I'm going to find out. So aisle number one, nobody. Aisle number two, there's nobody. But aisle number three is interesting. There's one person. It's a Walmart employee. And it's the cereal aisle. And you might lay it tight. Get to the point. Who cares? Here's the thing. I have never once seen water turn to wine. I know your pastor are way more spiritual than I am. They probably see water turn to wine on a daily basis. What they do with it is their business. Okay, but here's the thing. I've never seen, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. I've never seen water turn to wine ever in my life. However, I have seen milk turn into chocolate milk. Praise Jesus. I saw it today in my hotel. Okay, and here's the thing. If my God is going to do a miracle at Walmart, he's going to do it in the cereal aisle because it's the most fun one. And so here's the thing. I'm all jokes aside, I want this to be very practical. I'm going to tell you how I pray for people both here and in public because I believe Holy Spirit wants to empower you not just to hear stories, but to participate with them. So here's how I do this. I go up to this Walmart employee and I say it just like this. Hey, this might be really weird, because it probably is. I'm a stranger about to pray for you. I said, hey, this might be really weird to you. I feel like God is super real. I'm trying to hear his voice better all of the time. I have this feeling like I'm supposed to pray for you. Would that be okay? Would that be okay? Because I want to ask permission to pray and not just assert authority like a weird believer. Because I don't want to be like this. I don't want to see the lady at the end of the aisle and say, it's go time in the name of Jesus. And like that would be weird. I am not doing that tonight. That's tomorrow night. That's that person. I'm playing. I don't have voice. I'm just playing. I don't know what it is. But the reality is this is I might be, you might be the only healthy example of Jesus to anybody. So I'm not going to add my extra flair to make it as if God needs extra anyways. And so I say, hey, could I pray for you? And she says, yes. And can we just be really honest? She's on the clock to get prayed for. That's the best deal of all time. To get paid to be prayed for. That's so cool. And so I was like, hey, can I pray for you? And then I get this what is called a word of knowledge where God gives us information that we would never have access to bring them closer to Jesus. And I say to her what I felt Holy Spirit was saying to me, and any believer in Jesus can operate like this. And I said, hey, I could be wrong, but I have a feeling that 3 days ago that you were in a car accident, it destroyed your car, and that you're in severe back pain even right now. Does that mean anything to you? And she looked at me, and she said two words, oh, snap. Say, oh, snap. Not those exact words, but pretty close. Okay, so she cussed at me. That happened, if I'm allowed to say that in church. And let me say, friends, that didn't offend me. You know why? Because I don't expect non-believers to talk like believers. However, church, I do expect believers to act and pray like believers and like do these kind of things. And so she says something, and then she's like, who told you this? She says, yes, 3 days ago, I was in a car accident. My car is gone. I'm in severe back pain right now, but I have to work because I need the money. Who told you? And you got to get this. The goal in this moment is not for her to see that I hear from God. The goal is for her to see that God sees her. That's the goal. That's my goal for you today, this morning, tonight, the next couple days, is for you to understand that God sees you even when it feels like no one else sees you. And I pray it for her like this, really simply, with my hands in my pockets, with my eyes open, as I say, Jesus, you love my friend so much. You came from heaven to earth, lived a sinless, perfect life for us on our behalf. You died, rose from the dead 3 days later. If we accept you as Lord, we have you forever and we have heaven and it's amazing. And I pray you would also heal my friend's back. Amen. That's it. Super chill, nothing crazy. You know, I'm curious. Raise your hand if you're married. Any married people in the room? Married people? Cool, cool, cool. When has yelling ever made things better? I have yet to see it work, ever. And yet, though, sometimes people get in services like today, tonight, in the next couple days, and we get extra excited, and like, oh, we got to get a little bit louder, a little more eccentric. Let me say this. Holy Spirit doesn't need any of your extra. He is way more than enough. So I can calmly say this, Jesus, would you heal my friend? And then she looks at me, begins to cry and weep. She moves her back from side to side, and she's like, I don't know what's happening, but when you prayed for me, it's like my back felt like it was on fire, and now I've never felt this good. I love this. She said, I think your God just healed my back. And here's what I love. These stories, they're not my stories. They're our stories as believers. And if you don't have stories like this, there's no guilt or shame. This is an opportunity for you to step into what God already has planned for you. I'm going to teach three passages, and then we're going to pray. And it goes like this, because, you know, I love this, is that there's this nudge called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting. In this very room, I saw, when I asked you to nudge the person next to you, I saw three different nudges. Nudge number one, you were aggressively digging into each other. Clearly, a couple of you got in a fight on your way to church. You parked. You said, we'll deal with this later. And that was your later. Okay. And then some of you did a little tap. That's fine. And then some of you didn't do it at all. And I can see you. I'm higher up. But here's what I want you to get is this, is the level of nudge that you felt was determined by the level of relationship that you have. If you're sitting next to someone you're really close with, they can nudge you, even push you out of your seat. It's actually kind of funny. But if you're sitting next to a stranger and some guy you've never met says, hey, nudge the person next to you, and you get pushed out of your chair, you'd be so surprised and it'd be so weird. I mean, we're in Texas, so whatever. But here's the thing. But here's the reality. I think some of us are expecting us to be pushed out of our comfort zones and be nudged by Holy Spirit, but we have progressively sat farther and farther away from Holy Spirit. And so how do we get closer with him? There's three passages, and then we're going to pray. The first is this. Jesus talks about this in Acts chapter 1. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. It goes on to say, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so then in Acts 1:8, if we go to the next passage, then it says this. This is the last words ever recorded of Jesus ever. And Jesus uses it to define what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And he says this. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is the empowerment to bring people to Jesus everywhere we go. It's this extra dose of power, of greater authority, to see greater miracles all of the time, greater faith, all of that. And the last passage we'll look at before we pray is this. The first time anyone ever got this is in Acts chapter 2, and it says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting and divided. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that rested on each one of them. Here's my favorite verse. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as Holy Spirit enabled them to do so. Here's what I love. In this moment, this is after Jesus has ascended to heaven where he is now preparing a place for us. There's 120 followers of Jesus here. Some of them are some of the disciples who had been with Jesus for years. Others have been following Jesus for maybe months, weeks, maybe even days. And yet, regardless of how long they had been in relationship with Jesus, all of them were filled. Which tells me this, that whether you are about to step into relationship with Jesus or you've been in relationship with Jesus, all of us can be filled with more of Holy Spirit and see God do crazy miracles in our lives and through our lives. So the last teaching thing is this. I did not prepare you for this. So huge curveball. Pastor, what is your favorite fruit? Pastor, what's your favorite fruit? Banana. Okay, so let's say this. And if we can get some light music in the background as we're about to transition to a time of prayer. Let's say pastor before service says, Ty, I need you to take my car and go get me some bananas. And I said, pastor, man, you're my friend. It's on the house. I got you. I know, big spender here, bananas. And so I'm gonna get you a gift. Thanks for having me out. And I go to the store. I get the bananas. I come back to the church. And he's like, hey, where are the bananas? And I pull out of my pocket a gift receipt because it's a gift. I hand it to pastor. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. This says you got the bananas, but where are the bananas? I said, pastor, dude, can you read? It says right there, I got you the bananas. And he's like, no. This is the evidence that you've received the bananas, but where is the actual fruit? And I want to tell you this. Speaking in tongues is like the gift receipt for Holy Spirit gift himself. Speaking in tongues is not our goal today, although it can happen for any believer. Our goal today is to get more of Holy Spirit than we walked in here with. That's our goal. And so, man, a bunch of us will speak in tongues. That's happening. That's fine. Whatever. It's beneficial. Jude 1:20, it builds your faith. Romans 8, you pray the perfect will of God. But here's what I love is that this, if you have given your life to Jesus, we can receive more of Holy Spirit for our marriages, for our parenting, for praying for miracles, for seeing miracles, for money, all of the things. Holy Spirit wants to impart and fill every aspect of your life. And here's what we're going to do. In a minute, we're going to pray kind of in the altars. We'll pray with you for a minute or two. But before we do any of that, if we can bow our heads and close our eyes to make this not about anything that I'm doing, but between you and Jesus, if every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus, I pray that you would help my friends just to hear your voice today. And if you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you'd say, hey, I need to give my life back to Jesus, then this is a really beautiful moment. I'm not going to make anyone come up or stand up or do nothing. I just want to know who I'm praying for, if anybody here or online too. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you'd say, before we pray for more of Holy Spirit, I just need all of Jesus. Because reality is this, Holy Spirit is a gift for us. But the only way to gift that Jesus has for us is to first receive the gift that Jesus already is for us. So Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here, if there's anybody, and you say, hey, I need to give my life back to Jesus, or I need to give my life to Jesus for the first time, with every head bowed and every eye closed, before we pray for anything else, if that's you, if there's anybody here, can you just raise your hand and just so I know if I'm praying for anybody in the house this morning? Okay, cool. Awesome. Okay, well, Jesus, I thank you for the two people who put their hands up, and we can put our hands down. But I want to do this. I want to pray this together, because we do this life as Christians, followers of Jesus, together. And so we're going to pray this prayer because the Bible says in Romans, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And so I want every person in the room to pray this with me. Man, the prayer does not save you, but the heart change totally does. And so I want us to pray this together, every person here, as we do this life together. Say, Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you are the Son of God. Man, I believe you came and died for me. You rose from the dead. And so I give you all of my life. I give you my past, present, and future. I am all in for you. Amen. Hey, can we give it up for the two people who just said yes to Jesus? It's the best thing you will ever do in your life. And here's what I want us to do. If we can all just stand to our feet, if you're physically able to, and if we can turn the music up a little bit, if that's possible. I don't know who's in charge of it. But I want us to do this. What we're going to do here is we're going to spend the next like 4 minutes in prayer for more of Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're going to pray longer. We're going to pray, man, for physical healing, for miracles like the lady at Walmart, for emotional healings of anxiety. And we see the Lord heal all sorts of stuff. But before we get there tonight, I want us to be empowered this morning for what God wants to do on our daily life and our marriage. Man, I believe this. Holy Spirit doesn't just want to fill you up so that you do good. He wants to fill you up so that you are good. And so I'm going to pray us into this. And then when we pray in a minute, we'll kind of step up into this front place. I'd love to put a hand on your shoulder. Pastor will too. Just pray over you. We just want to impart anything we got. And we're going to pray kind of like this, if prayer is new for you. And we'll keep this up. Is we're going to tell Jesus we want to receive more of Holy Spirit. We're going to get as close to him as we know how to through prayer and any worship you want to do. And then whenever you feel, know, or like just have faith that Holy Spirit's upon you, when you can speak out what you feel prompting you to say, it's not going to make any sense. It's a heavenly language. And when we pray those prayers, I don't know what I'm saying, but God knows it. And here's what I love is that, man, God wants to pray through you prayers you would never have faith for to pray for yourself. And so we're going to pray, but our goal again is not to speak in tongues, although that can happen for many or any who believe in Jesus. Our goal is one thing, to get more of Holy Spirit than we walked in here with. So we're going to pray for literally like 4 minutes, then we'll get out of here. So there's no pressure. There's no elongating of any of this because you don't have to beg God for what God already wants to do. And so we'll take a couple of minutes, and if it's longer, that's fine too. But I want to lead us into this. And when I say amen, I want to encourage you to join me and Pastor at the front. And just we'd love to pray with you. So Jesus, I pray this for my friends, that you would fill my friends. I pray that we would sense your spirit and your presence. I pray that you would empower us, empower our families. Man, I pray even now that even through your Holy Spirit, that you would restore broken marriages, man, that you would repair finances. I pray that bodies would be healed. I pray that you would empower this church to be the church, that everywhere we go, that we would be filled with you. And so when I say amen, I want to encourage you to step out of your seat, make your way forward, and just lift your hands and pray and receive. Nothing emotionally led, all spirit led. If we can turn the music up a little bit more. But Jesus, I pray that you would fill my friends in this place. And Jesus, I thank you. Man, I pray even now before the service tonight about healing, I pray that healings would happen this morning. Marriages would be mended this morning. Man, think breakthroughs would happen this morning. And so Jesus, I pray for my friends that you would fill every person with more than we walked in here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So I'd love to pray for you. Pastor love to pray for you. And I just want to encourage you to come up here, bow your heads, close your eyes, focus on Jesus, not on us. Because man, we just want to give you what Jesus already's gotten you. So we are not the goal. Jesus is the goal.